Hey, everybody. You're listening to the first ever A Dime Back podcast. We have our three writers here in the house, myself, Tyler Wilkinson, Megan Bard, and Peter Bard. And we're also joined by our esteemed producer, Alex Cohen. Fair warning for the sensitive among you, this podcast will almost certainly feature some very salty language. For reference, this is recorded Saturday night, right after the UCF game where UConn won. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to delve into some other subjects as well. Thanks for listening.
All right, so what are we talking about first? The game on Saturday. So,
the story was
Amita Brahma.
It was Amita Brahma.
Yeah.
I thought.
He had a,
20 points
obviously,
for Amita Brahma.
When's the last time a UConn center had 20 points?
5-6 years ago? It's got to be the beat, right?
When was the last time a UConn center looked like he knew how to play basketball?
When was the last time a UConn center played 20 minutes in a game?
Is that how long he played?
Yeah.
How many fouls did he end up with? Four. Four?
Four.
See, here's
four
the
fouls.
Problem. Is as good a game as he had, he still fouls too much. Though
way
I will
much.
Say,
yeah,
I wasn't.
But it's really refreshing to see a guy who can catch the ball inside and put it away.
Like, when he catches it literally above the rim, he can put it inside the rim.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, that last assist that Napier had, you know, Brahma's standing foot outside the paint, catches the ball, and you remember when Thabeet was a freshman. He catches that ball there, he puts it on the ground, and bounces it off his foot and rolls out of bounds.
Hits it off his size 20 foot.
Brahma just takes the one step and dunks it. He says, all right, here's – the fundamental things that are supposed to come later, a lot of those things he's good with. He's got great footwork. He knows how to move back and forth across the paint so he can be a good help defender.
He's a much better athlete than any of those like developing big men ever were. He's a better athlete now than Okafor was.
His hands are still pretty terrible, though.
He looked like he didn't have hands.
I always said he had ping pong paddles for hands.
Like, by his senior year,
how many rebounds
better.
Did he end up with on the night?
Eight
rebounds.
Wow.
Five blocks.
Yeah.
That's what we've been praying for all season.
I know, it made me look like an idiot as I write a piece this week that's like, well, UConn will never score inside, so they might as well shoot 43s a game.
And
then
Noah
they shoot
had a good night
29%
too.
From three and get 40 points in the paint. So
they must have been reading.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand.
Everyone is
Fuck
conspiring
you,
to make me look like an idiot.
I mean, all day I was hearing, oh, UCF, they rebound so well. And
top rebounding team in the conference.
They've got great interior play. And I'm like, all right, we're going to get killed inside. And then the opposite happens. Did they just play like bad people all year? Like what? How did they get plus
seven
rebounding?
They did. I mean, they've lost some really bad games. They lost to Florida Atlantic. I mean, they rebound well, but they don't particularly do anything else well.
Except for Isaiah Sykes.
The Michael Jordan of basketball. The other interesting thing, I thought Phil Nolan looked legitimately serviceable.
He did. He looked really good
well tonight.
How many minutes did he get?
Phil Nolan played 15 minutes.
So we got 35 minutes of solid work,
and it only took 7 fouls. Though the thing is, like
yet Tyler Olander starts the second half again.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
He played 4 minutes on the night.
2 minutes in the first half. Started the game. Played 2 minutes. Got taken out. Did not get put back in. Starts the second half.
2 minutes.
Plays 2 minutes, gets taken out, does not go back.
Feels bad. It was a good luck charm. He's like, well, first half went well. I'll try the same exact formula.
Senior leadership.
He's not ready for work.
Speaking of minutes, though, like in the first half, I thought Calhoun got entirely too many minutes.
Here is the thing on
Calhoun.
He did
not have a great game.
No, he has not had many, many good games. He was 0 for 2, pulled 2 rebounds, an assist and 2 turnovers in 14 minutes.
Well, he
already played 5 minutes. He took no shots.
The thing I
no
noticed watching
five.
Him is
the game before 5 minutes.
As they were setting up plays around the perimeter, I mean, he couldn't get rid of the ball fast enough. Like
you can see
his confidence
he's
is in
broken.
The toilet.
And I know I feel bad about it. I mean, I know what Kevin was trying to do today. He's saying, all right, we got a 9-point lead. This game feels pretty comfortable. I couldn't afford to play him against Harvard.
Right.
Because we needed to win. If this game gets tight, I'm going to pull him, but in the meantime, I'm going to put him on the court and hope he figures this shit out.
Yeah.
And he hasn't, but I don't know if there's a better way to get him figured out. I don't know. He had those 2 surgeries in the offseason. You got to think he just did not play basketball all summer. I mean, maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know.
He had a couple solid games in the beginning of the season, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he's had like 2 aberration games where he's hit maybe 5 threes or something.
But that's the whole game for him right now. It's
absolutely.
Just catch and shoot, catch and shoot. That's all he's got at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas, and it's tough. So it's tough to put him on the floor when you've got Giffey, who does the same thing better, who
can
actually defend,
up.
Who can rebound. who can see the floor.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because, I mean, like, he's been pigeonholed. He's shooting 60% from three. You're like, oh, there's a three-point shooter. But he really can put the ball on the floor.
He can play the four. Like, he does the help side defense.
He was doing
the
post, nice in the high post as well.
I mean, a little bit. He's kind of hard to box that one.
Yeah.
Getting away to big picture, do you think he has an NBA career?
No. He's going to go home. He's going to make good money in Germany. And the German chicks are going to love him. And that's a much better life than I'm going to live.
The other thing I liked about the game today, though, I thought the defense looked better than it's looked in kind of a while.
Especially in the first half. Mm.
Our defense did. I don't know if it was just we adjusted to their adjustments quickly, but it just seemed like they were always doing the wrong thing. Like, how many times did Napier just, like, start to dribble and then realize they're, like, holding a high line above our wide-open center who's standing underneath the basket? Like, get it together.
It was very strange when they chose to go zone, too. It feels like the lineups that UConn had on the floor that probably could have been pressed with the zone, mainly like when Calhoun was on there, who can't shoot at the moment, they were playing man-to-man, and UConn was getting points inside, especially to Brima. And then as soon as Napier and Giffey and Cromer are all on the floor together, oh, we're going to play zone now, but, you know, don't worry about closing on the wings. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and one of the things I've noticed about our defense, too, has been that when we keep people teams out of transition and we actually get this dude set defense, we're much more successful. It's when we, like, Houston.
They are good on ball defenders.
They're good on ball defenders.
They looked really tenacious today. I thought that was the first time I'd seen really any intensity man to man on defense.
Shabazz was getting up in people's business a few times. That was all I was liking it.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I've been really critical of Shabazz and Boatwright, for that matter, of just not staying in front of people. I mean, it worked when you had Hasheem Thabeet. If you're A.J. Price or Kemba Walker, sure, go for a steal 20 feet from the basket, because if a guy gets in the paint, Thabeet's going to hit the ball back to half court. But when Phil Nolan and Tyler Olander or DeAndre Daniels are having to play center,
I'm pretty sure I could shoot
it. Does not work.
Olander.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just wondering, maybe Brima playing 20 minutes and having a great defensive game is that big of a difference maker that it changes UConn's whole defense.
If he figures out his foul trouble issues, like, that's... Which
part
is
of that is shedding
if.
The rep as a fouling guy.
Absolutely.
Like, there were a couple of those, like, the ball bounces to the guy next to him who jumps into him and they call the foul on him. I was like, okay. I mean, I understand he's raw, but let's not make ones up.
And he needs to, like, learn that he's a target so we can't waste them. He does, you know, like, all the time, like, a loose ball happens on the offensive glass and he just, like, gets called for a reach and foul. And you're like, buddy, you just stand in the paint, you're going to get called for four fouls a game. You don't need to give away this one. Just mind your business and go back on D.
And I've never seen that work. I've never seen a center just take a ball out of a guy's hand, except when Suleiman did it to Elton Brand.
For that layup. Yeah, that was a great layup.
God, do you guys want to watch that right now? The whole game is on YouTube.
Of course it is.
I watch it when I'm not working at work sometimes.
This, like, is a great plug. So if you go to adimeback.com and click, what's it say on the top? It's like, when you're feeling down. There is highlights from the three championship games and a link where you can watch the full game for all of them.
It's right on our website.
Right on the website.
It's right there. I've had to go to
www.adimeback.com.
I've had to go there a few times over the last few weeks.
There's also a picture of Khalid Al-Amin, which really lifts my spirits.
Yeah.
Most everybody had a good game. Like, a lot of guys was like, that guy had a really good game tonight.
Yeah, even a guy like Chroma, who went 2 for 8, did not shoot well. I felt like he had a great game.
Yeah, he looked good on defense. He always looks good on defense.
Well, you know, he does those intangibles.
Oh,
Peter's
going to nice
punch
save.
You in the face in, like, 30 seconds.
There are intangibles in basketball. I just, you know, prefer the tangibles.
Did Bass say anything about his knee today? Did that come up at all?
Yeah, Shabazz said he's fine, basically.
He looked good.
Yeah, I said...
He probably could have scored more points if he weren't clearly just trying to create highlight dunks for people.
I mean, that's always
a
thing,
lot of fun
too.
To
I
watch.
Mean,
there were a lot of lobs going
like,
up.
Like, how many times can we get on SportsCenter? Like, you know, there's they hit that moment in the game where, like, all right, we've won this game. How much pussy can we get out of
him? I've always wondered this with Shabazz, right? Because he kind of had that reputation as, like, a selfish player, especially when he was really young. And it sort of seemed like, I don't know if that bugged him or what, but he's been, like, getting out of it to the point where, remember last year in the first half, he, like, would not shoot ever in the first half. And it was so fucking annoying because you're like, shoot the goddamn ball. But, I mean, he legitimately seems to enjoy getting other people shots.
Oh, he's a showman too.
Well, I think he also understands too that he's not going to help his draft stock out by by gunning all season. I mean, I think his path to a decent draft spot is probably to build his entire stat sheet. And,
so what do we think? Do we think Shabazz has an NBA career ahead of him?
It's possible.
It's possible. I mean,
he's a better shooter right now probably than Kemba was.
Yeah, but he's not as quick as Kemba was.
Shabazz cannot finish. This is the other thing I've been coming to grips with as I watch.
Yeah, whereas Kemba
used to
make cartoon baskets all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Shabazz gets away with his wits, so he does the thing.
He's
Kemba
cagey.
Did it too, you know, where he'll like up fake and then jump into a guy's chest and get a foul. And he's shooting,
really,
you know, 85%.
Really good getting,
he does that really good kind
and,
of head flick when he's going down the lane. He does that just like Kemba used to do it.
But when he goes in for a contested layup, 50-50 chance he makes it.
Yeah.
Kemba was probably 90% chance he made it.
99.
Yeah.
It depends on how, like,
Kemba was magic.
If it was going to be absurd, it was going in. Here's the thing. You've got a team built around, like, scoring, penetrating guards. You're going to have to get used to the idea that occasionally they're going to do some shit that the book says don't do.
That's fair.
But they're really athletic guys. They, you know, they can make. I got pissed off when Craig Austrey tried to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Donnell Beverly.
Craig Austrey touched the ball.
We couldn't even come up with a good nickname for him.
Garbage.
So we just
called him garbage.
Garbage.
I fucking hated that guy. I'm sure he's a nice person, but dude, stop trying to play like you're an athlete. You
do
can
us
a jumper,
all a favor and forfeit your scholarship.
It's so funny when you look back at like your history of UConn fandom and players you were just so hard on. And now that I'm like a grown up, like I have to go and talk to these players, I'm like, oh man, I was like so mean to like a 19-year-old kid. Like, my God, I owe like Marcus Cox an apology. I was so mean.
I remember being in college and, you know, abusing the other teams and stuff.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about that, though.
I don't feel bad about that at all.
Well,
now
the other
I
teams,
look back and I'm like,
fuck those 19-year-olds.
Yeah, well, we were 19-year-olds.
Those 19-year-olds are somebody else's responsibility.
I always feel bad,
Nardi likes Coldplay. I remember that song.
That's my favorite. Like, such a like, an insult that only worked for Mike Nardi. Like, you could only say that about that guy.
And it happened to come out, like, it was like the during the time 40-year-old virgin was at. So it was topical. But
like, tonight I was watching a different game before the UConn game started, and some guy fouled out, and like, they do the, you know, the left, right, sit down. I'm like, you know, that's a kid. Don't taunt that kid.
But well, is it okay if it's the other kids taunting the kids? Like,
I don't know. I just doesn't. I mean, I don't feel. If it makes me feel bad.
Listen, at the time when I was in college, I loved that.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
I'm not saying like
all about
this is a
that.
Recent thing. Like now, I feel weird about it.
I remember driving Roy Hibbert nearly to tears because he was not. He was not good. He was just like.
Oh,
he was
totally
like,
turned into a player.
He was like, I mean, the beat. You know, like he had like bad hands, but he was very tall and could get places. So like,
well,
you know, he had
put,
potential.
But he played for Georgetown, and that means that you turn from awkward, clumsy oaf into NBA All-Star.
But I remember him like at the foul line. He's having like a rough game, and the whole crowd just starts chanting, "Freak, freak, freak!"
Oh God!
He looked like he was gonna cry at the foul line.
He's like, "I'm a monster!" Like,
takes all this, and everyone in the crowd so proud of themselves. Like, look at him, we broke him.
I guess if you feel bad about that now, that takes solace in the fact that he's one of the best centers.
Yeah,
in the game.
He's got like
he's like
$50 million
UConn fans.
He's like swimming in a swimming pool full of money, and being like, "Yeah, call me a freak, bitch."
We are across the street from No Friend to us, and that's the XL Center.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
yeah. I hate the XL Center.
I don't hate the XL Center.
Why?
Why don't I hate it?
Yeah. What do you like about it?
I didn't say I liked it.
What do you not hate about it?
Well, I just think hate's a very strong word.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying you don't loathe and despise it, but you would rather see all of the games at Campbell.
Yeah, or another on-campus facility that is better equipped. I mean, I would like them to have a, you know, 18,000-seat stadium on campus, but I'm a realistic human being.
So I think I just hate more what it represents, what it, you know, that these... That
the loss of the Whalers?
That, well, that too. But games that have to take place, realistically, 40 minutes from campus, it's just not... It's not fair to the... That's not what, like, college athletics is supposed to be about. You go to the marquee programs. I mean,
and
Cameron,
it's about the kids. It's about the students. They give the students the best seats.
Yeah.
And the students make it an awesome thing, whereas here we give the best seats to people who don't fucking show up.
Yeah, like Cameron is...
Crazy.
A cathedral.
Yeah,
so here's
amazing.
The question. Are you guys for or against one game a year in Bridgeport?
I'm against, personally.
I would have to understand the rationale. Like, what did they hope to gain from that?
So here's my theory.
They just
on
feel
this.
Bad, like, oh, Bridgeport needs something.
So here's the deal. With the last Excel Center contract that has since expired, UConn was barred from playing at any of these other in-state arenas. When that contract expired and new management came into the Excel Center, UConn worked that agreement out of the contract, which allows them to go play in Bridgeport.
They could play at Mohegan Sun.
They could
too.
Play at Mohegan Sun.
Which that would honestly be a pretty cool venue to see them at. I mean, it's a pretty good arena.
Absolutely.
It home of the Connecticut Sun.
Free parking.
It would be fun to go to. You know?
Obviously, things to do before and after.
Like go to Michael Jordan's and get
like
that
a
fondue.
Get the
garlic bread.
Lobster, whatever. Mac and cheese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to our sponsor, Michael Jordan's Restaurant, Mohegan Sun Casino.
God, you wish, man.
Well, I guess for me, at least as a fan, I don't see any real difference between having a game at the Excel Center or having it in Bridgeport. It's still not on campus. Mm-hmm. It's still unreasonable to try and get students out there.
I mean, Bridgeport is so far from campus. You're talking an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, by bus, campus. It's probably like an hour 40.
Yeah, but still, it presents this. To me, it presents the same...
They didn't even sell
problem.
Student tickets to
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, they didn't
game.
Even have a student section at the Bridgeport
That's,
game.
To me, that is utterly unacceptable well, at a student college event,
yeah,
like, event to not have a student section.
I agree with that. But they also, I mean, and their point with it was, one of the points was also, I believe, that they were trying to appeal to Fairfield County.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they
because we know how much Fairfield County loves Bridgeport.
But they, you know, they have a lot of alumni in the area. So there is something to trying to get games where alumni can go. I can at least appreciate that it's that. Over.
Totally. I'm perfectly fine with it. Frankly, there's, what, a two-month period where there's no students on campus. We're right in the middle of it now. We're at the UCF game today.
Yeah.
One-third of the student section was full.
That's true.
NFL playoffs. It's raining. The women played an hour and a half from campus. Are you really doing both trips? You know, people coming all the way back to stores to watch UCF? Probably not. For me, every game should be played in Gamble, except during break. When you should play one game in Harvard, one game in Mohegan, one game at Bridgeport.
That's I think that's a pretty fair compromise.
Or
one
my
game
other
at the basketball
idea,
Hall of Fame.
Do a tournament. Back in the, I don't know, 70s, 80s, they used to host tournaments and teams would come and play sort of like, you know,
like
Chaminade and Maui, you know.
Yeah.
But UConn was the host and they did it at the Civic Center. Do that every year.
And I think people in this area would support that. That's
absolutely.
We love our basketball tournaments here. I mean, that's...
The tournament this year at Mohegan Sun.
If there's a trophy, I'll go watch it.
Yeah, the tournament that had Louisville and North Carolina Mohegan Sun this year did fantastic, and people loved it. Apparently, it was like a really great experience, which both speaks to the success UConn could have playing there occasionally, but also that people in Connecticut like college basketball, and if you bring good teams in, they'll come.
Did Megan tell you that some lady called her a nuck?
On Twitter.
For saying that
for
they
making
play.
Fun of Bridgeport, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my I was something to the effect of like, yeah, even though we won, we should never play there again. And then the
and this
tweet
woman tweets,
total,
you fucking nucked.
No, she tweets, Bridgeport is great. You are a nucked. And like, you are a nucked is in all caps.
Well, that's how you know she meant it.
Classy.
And I was like, thank you for proving my point.
I saw Ricky Moore in Home Depot like 3 weeks ago and I went, what's up, coach?
God, that's cool.
No,
yeah, and he was like, hi.
Actually.
Like, I was expecting to be like, yeah. I was expecting him to like dap me with the 99 championship ring. It did not go down like that.
I bet he was
doing
a retaining
wall. Like Ace Ventura, you wanted him to punch you in the forehead so you could have the imprint
yeah.
forever. Yeah.
I want him to be like, thanks for noticing me, man. Let's yeah. go get some lumber.
You know, he just gets hounded.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, actually, the cigar shop downstairs that I get my cigars at.
Sponsored by
Coach.
Some
yeah.
cigar place.
Coach Ali goes there.
Coach Ali.
KO.
Knockout.
Should we...
Is that your segue? Holy shit.
I don't know.
You want to talk about Kevin?
Do you want to talk about Kevin?
I will say, I've been a little rough on him lately.
Yes, yeah. you have.
Well, here's the thing.
You have.
He had some bad games.
He did.
And tonight, he... I mean, yeah, the players played better than they have been, but we were clearly several steps ahead of UCF all night long.
Yeah, and I thought my... Well, I have a couple of criticisms of Kevin, but one of them being, I don't think he, to this point, has managed the lineup very well.
It's
and I
all
thought
over
today, aside from the weird Olander aberrations, which God fucking knows.
Whatever, 2 minutes at the beginning
yeah,
of the half.
Yeah.
He didn't want, you know what, he didn't want Bryman to come in and get another foul.
Mm. But
he's,
I thought
he's a precog.
I thought he managed the lineup today very well.
I've liked seeing Kuroma, and more I liked Kuroma getting the start last time. I think he's playing some great defense, and it's
Giffey on the floor more than Kuroma.
Me too.
He does more things.
Do you know, Giffey shooting 62% from three is actually had a decrease in minutes from last season. He's playing less.
That's crazy.
Seems weird.
It's small, but
he's doing everything well.
Yeah.
He's such a good glue guy.
I watched him make some great moves in the lane
There's a good turn.
Playing some great
We got
defense.
A lot of glue guys on this team, because yeah. Chrome is a glue guy and Giffey is a glue guy.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that Chroma brings that you don't see a lot in college basketball is that he's older.
He's like 35, right?
Well, he's a fifth year, so that's...
Fifth year of his PhD.
Like...
In chromanology.
What do you think the rotation should be?
Right now, you're gonna basically split center between Nolan and Brima, whoever has fewer finals
court, or
fewer fouls at the moment. Daniels is not embarrassing himself at the four. I'd start Giffey at the three, and then you've got, you know, Bowright and Napier in the backcourt, and Kuroma Kuroma backs up those three spots.
Chroma's probably just the sixth man at this point. I mean,
yeah, and you know, you got to get Calhoun some minutes, and I'd like to see a little more of Ken Facey.
Me too. I was going to bring that up. He played 3 minutes today, had three rebounds.
I
feel like that's his stat line every time he gets in the game.
He needs to put some weight on, and he needs to be less foul prone. But like, do you remember Marcus White?
Absolutely.
And like, just could rebound. Kind of like he just, I don't know. Some guys have a knack for it. Like, they understand the positioning, and they get off the ground quickly, and they just get up and get rebounds.
If you threw a ball off the backboard, I would put all the money in my wallet Facey would out-rebound Olander, Nolan, and Brima.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Olander would fall over. Nolan would wait for it to hit the floor.
And Brima would foul Nolan.
They're looking for somebody to play the center spot, and it's not like... I don't know about Facey at center.
No.
And coming in today, it's not like Brima and Nolan have been impressive lately.
No.
Olander did okay in the last game. So it's like, all right, I'll take a shot with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, Olander is not good, but he tries.
He just seems like a, you know, hardworking guy.
I'm telling you, my main takeaway when I was like watching this game today, and both Nolan and Brima were playing well, is I've been on this train like, okay, UConn's not going to score. They're not going to rebound. Put 5 3-point shooters on the floor.
Yeah, I knew that was a bad idea.
So now I'm watching this game and I'm saying, wow, these guys are fucking competent. Put
two.
Yeah, play Nolan and Brima together.
Or, you know, Brima and Facey.
Yeah.
Or,
I'd love to see Brima and Facey
even
together.
Nolan and Facey. Give Olander some burn at the four and see if he's any better, you know?
I mean, I think you made a good point earlier. Is Olander's definitely better facing the basket than he is back to the basket. So,
and he's getting destroyed on the glass trying to keep the other team's center away from the board.
He cannot post up.
Not with
he
those
cannot
T-Rex
play
arms.
Any defense.
So it's like, why not put him against the other team's four, and maybe all of a sudden he doesn't look so weak.
Is there anything to that guy who was destroying us in Houston? I forgot his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
Alan Houston.
But when we put Olander was the guy who came in the game in the second half and shut that guy down.
Yeah, I mean, he's disruptive, you know? He's just like the way a speed bump is disruptive.
Oh, poor Tyler Olander. Sad sack of a bastard.
Again, I mean, like, I just think he's being misused. I think he's more the sacrificial lamb of the situation. Like, oh, Brime is in foul trouble. Tyler, you go in there and you bang with that 7-foot-tall, 250-pound guy. It'll go well, yeah.
Yeah,
2 minutes later,
him,
you're like, oh,
asking him to go in at the five without a real power forward on the floor when Daniels, who weighs 160 pounds, is the power forward.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting him up to fail.
Yeah, and I mean,
so maybe I don't know. Maybe I can't imagine Facey doing a whole lot worse in that role.
And I mean, to be honest, when Olander got to play his sophomore year with Oriaki and Drummond, and of course they couldn't play together, so when one of them was at the center and Olander had to play the four, he looked reasonably competent.
Yeah.
That was when he had 19 points against Notre Dame. Like,
man, wouldn't it?
And he has never gotten to play small forward since Oriaki and Drummond left.
Yeah, I almost don't even acknowledge Drummond as part of UConn's history. Like, I wonder what it's like to be a Kentucky fan. Like, are you proud of Anthony Davis? Like, I mean, yeah, he
won. Sure, because he's good.
Well, he won.
They're
a championship.
They're real hostile, man. Don't even talk to them.
He won a championship. But you know,
and national.
You
player
watched
of the year.
Him play for 5 months.
I mean,
why do you care?
I don't know. Syracuse certainly still cares about Carmelo.
Texas
still cares about Durant.
Well, when you consider that,
I don't think UCLA gives a shit about Kevin Love.
Probably not. I think I'll take having a player for 3 or 4 years and loving that player, watching that player, and then seeing a championship, then, like, you know, getting a bunch of one and duns and maybe once in a while winning it. You know,
I think we'd all rather, you know, have great players stay for a long time and win championships.
Well, it's not even necessarily about great players staying a long time. Like, I loved watching
Craig Ostrey.
I loved
nobody loved Craig Ostrey.
No, but I loved watching.
I don't think Craig Ostrey liked watching Craig Ostrey. So every time he had, oh god damn it!
Why did I do that?
But I loved watching Hilton Armstrong turn from the player he was as a freshman into the player he was as a senior,
and only as a senior.
It was very rewarding when he became good as a senior. But man, was he bad!
Oh, he was bad.
Remember him getting more than like 10 total minutes until his senior year.
Yeah, he was the definition of like awkward and out of control. He'd get on the court and he would
he was like Phil Nolan.
There's a lot of similarities. To be honest, if you put sophomore year Phil Nolan right now against sophomore year Hilton Armstrong,
they're probably the same player.
Nolan would put Armstrong in a body bag.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be even close, honestly.
Hilton Armstrong sophomore year would be behind Phil Nolan in this rotation on this team.
Probably.
Hilton Armstrong senior year might be the best player on this team. At least probably the highest scoring player.
Well, but my conference point being, that's part of the joy of watching it is I like to watch these players grow through the years and become better players. That's the cool thing about college basketball is that's when players grow. That's when they become better players. And
Jeff Adrian's having a nice little season for himself.
He's playing
Jeff
for
Adrian.
The Bad Cats.
Yeah.
You know what? They're so not bad. The worst team in the East, and they're in the 8th playoff spot right now.
Are they?
They are.
They had to, you know,
they're under
500, mortgage their future to be a terrible playoff team.
Yeah, they've traded their upcoming first round pick already
in the best draft
ever.
Really?
Yeah.
They just have.
Who did they trade for?
Al Jefferson.
Yeah.
Well,
they pick in the low 20s now.
Isn't Al Jefferson, what is he, 25, 26?
I don't know.
He's reasonably young.
They pick somewhere
around.
He's
one of the better big men in the league.
He's good, but he doesn't play any defense. And then, like, all their draft picks, like, Morrison flopped. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist doesn't look like he's going to be very good.
No.
Kemba was a good pick.
Kemba was good.
His efficiency's gone up.
He's been so up and down this year. Like, he'll go, like, 5 games in a row where he shoots 70% and 28 points a game, and then he'll go, like, 2 for 19.
Mm. Yeah, but to be fair, I think there's a lot of players like that out there.
I think this season he's been particularly erratic.
Gotta be so boring
being on the Bobcats.
Yeah, play 82 games a year in that terrible fucking team with a bad coach and your horrible teammates.
And you're not even, you know, you're like, we're gonna be the Hornets next year.
Yeah, I mean, like,
we'll be teal and green.
I'm on TV tonight. I guess I'll go for 30-10. It's like, oh, I'm playing on the West Coast against Sacramento, and it's on NBA TV. My family's asleep. I'm gonna shoot threes all night. I don't give a shit
with
what happens tonight.
With my eyes closed.
Yeah. I mean, this would just be so boring. It's got to be hard to be on a bad NBA team, especially when you're like come off the high of winning a national championship when everyone's sucking.
And they're paying you a lot of money, and you're like, I know I'm supposed to care, but I'm so rich, and this is so dumb.
All right, so there's nothing else we care about.
No.
Make sure that one of the segues has to be Brass Bonanza.
Okay.
Ba, 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 da, ba, ba. Actually, have it me doing it just there.
I'm sorry, how does it go again?
Ba, 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 da, ba, 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 ba.
With that, we'll close our first ever podcast. We'll try to do this again, maybe after the Memphis and the Louisville games. Until then, you can always find us on www.adimeback.com. You can follow @adimeback on Twitter. You can also follow Megan on Twitter @MeganBard and Peter on Twitter @PKBard. Thanks a lot.